Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I'm here to ask for your help to create a more appropriate check on the governor's power to place appointees on our local college and university boards. I'm asking you to consider legislation that codifies a true system of checks and balances where the Florida State Senate has a meaningful role in the confirming of these appointments.
Got around to listening to and cutting the audio from the Santa Rosa County delegation meeting. And this is Kim Klein, who had she's a local teacher, and she had run against Alex Andrade for his state seat, showed up saying, "You know, this whole business of the governor being able to put his people on the board of trustees for UWF and PSC and other, obviously other universities as well, without any meaningful ability of the legislature to stop him, because what he can do is he can nominate them and then the Senate can say yes or no. But then even if the Senate says no, he can still put them on there anyway. I mean, it's an insane system." So she's saying, can we have some reform in this? Remember, I think Michelle Salzman had offered to put some reforms like that in place. And I think, I think in the end, none of that really went through, which is unfortunate, because there are absolutely members of the Board of Trustees at UWF and PSC who are, you know, problematic. Zach Smith, you know, I should not be on either one. Based on what I have seen from him so far, you know, you've heard me talk about that. I think that folks really fixated on Adam Kissel a lot, and by mistake. I think I've told you that, you know, he was one who drew early fire, but the more I looked at him and listened to him and watched him in the meetings, he's actually providing some very useful input. Even other board members at UWF, he's not a PSC, other board members at UWF have said, you know, that they value his contributions, even though he's out of state, even though, you know, he doesn't seem like he'd be the right guy, but I think he's been pretty valuable. Anyway, Kim continues, and it is rightfully so, asking the delegation, hey, can you work on this?
Back in April, I, along with a group of local UWF alumni, drove 3+ hours to attend an 8 a.m. Senate confirmation hearing in Tallahassee. We were unified in our concern over several controversial Board of Trustee placements. The governor appointed some individuals without ties or a clear understanding of Northwest Florida or the institutions we have built here. At least two of them did not even live in our state. There was a wave of pushback locally, including every member of the Escambia County Board of County Commissioners. Senator Gates, you also listened to your constituents as you chaired the committee that did not confirm Adam Kissel.
Yeah, I had forgotten about the Board of County Commissioners sending the note that we opposed this also. And, you know, not that that is all the weight in the world, but that's a pretty significant move by your local elected officials.
At the national level, the President of the United States cannot place an appointee that does not pass a Senate confirmation hearing. The Senate's power to advise and consent is written in the U.S. Constitution. So why is the governor of Florida given so much more power than the president of the United States? If it is a conservative principle to limit the power of government, then the legislation will be something that your constituents will enthusiastically support. Mr. Kissel, along with the governor's other trustees, are presiding over the Tallahassee takeover of our local university. And taxpayers are paying the price.
Yeah, that's true. And we were only halfway there at PSC because there are still vacancies there. And, you know, we'll see what comes if the governor tries to do the same kind of ramrodding that he did at UWF. I totally agree with her. And by the way, the observation that it's a conservative principle of checks and balances. I mean, look, I said it again. I'm a big supporter of Governor DeSantis. I voted for him every time it was possible to vote for him. I voted for him for the presidential selection. You know, I like him a lot. He did amazing things during COVID. But in the last, you know, 6 to 9 months, he's really had some things go off the rails. And this Doge business, you know, where's the report? I want to read the report. Don't just go out there and give me press conference cherry-picked highlights and tell me what to believe about a report that I can't read for myself. That's terrible journalism. You know, that's okay. So that's a problem. Also, cutting spending, sure. Conservatives getting rid of wasteful spending, I agree. Watching out for your tax dollar, I agree. But also watching out for checks and balances. Looking out for accountability. And in this case, to have a governor push his nominees onto the Board of Trustees, not only regardless of consent, but in spite of disconsent. You know, when the Senate says no and you still do it anyway, that's outrageous. That is anti-conservative. That is, you know, big government doing whatever it wants to do. That's a problem. 6:15 on News Radio 92.3. There's a couple of other interesting elements from that meeting last week. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by the Pensacola Little Theater. Get your tickets now for the epic gothic musical thriller Jekyll and Hyde running through October 5th. Get your tickets at the PLT box office or at PensacolaLittleTheater.com. Got another accident on the books right now at Avalon Boulevard and San Jose Street. That's right before the I-10 entrance. It just happened, and so we're going to get you more information on that. Also, still dealing with the accident that happened on East Fairfield and North Palafox Street. It's off to the side of the road, and I've just seen minor delays in both Fairfield and Palafox. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to the Santa Rosa County delegation meeting from last week. One of the things that had come up was the question of the property tax cuts, right? Which we've been talking about this a lot because this is a huge topic for our state and municipalities and counties. Marilyn Farrow, who is a city councilwoman in Milton, showed up, and one of the things, and there were a couple of others that kind of talked about this as well, that if you get rid of property taxes, you're going to dramatically change our financial picture as a city, and we're going to have to do something to make up for it.
Most of Florida's tax dollars are raised and spent locally. If we do away with property taxes, we'd have to come up with some other way to support our municipalities. We would have to go up on our sales tax up to as high as 12% is what Florida League of Cities predicts. We would also potentially have to increase utility and service fees or even add new local fees to make up the difference.
So she's telling them how difficult it's going to be for a city like Milton to keep functioning properly if you eliminate that revenue stream, right? Which was, by the way, in the Milton City Council meeting when they talked about this, it was all, you know, hand-wringing and doom and gloom, and I understand that. But, you know, they were all on board with, yeah, this is a problem. If they eliminate property taxes, that's going to adversely affect our ability to do our jobs and provide the basic services that people want. And then Alex Andrade, at the end of the meeting, you know, they kind of let people do their speeches, and then at the very end, they have an opportunity to respond. And Alex Andrade, who you have to keep in mind that there's a history here. You know, Marilyn was one of the sort of aligned with the Pitchfork posse, Mike Cusack, Heather Lindsay, and Milton. They ousted, you know, Alex, okay? There's a lot of backstory here, but, you know, so they're not buddies, okay? But still, Alex's response to her, not directly to her by name, but he was answering the thing that she had brought up was,
"I'm going to see an extensive debate in the legislature this coming session. But I do want to leave you with a note of encouragement. Last session and this session, our biggest fights have been over which taxes to cut first and just how much we should be cutting our budget. I think the state has set an incredible example in a time where people are struggling, and my hope is that local governments follow suit. If they don't before this next year, it will create a circumstance where it is more likely than not that that referendum that will, I'm going to give it 90% odds that it's going to be on the ballot next year to eliminate some portion of property tax, whether it be homestead specific or otherwise. If local governments do not take the same example that the state has set to actually cut their taxes and not increase them, then they are essentially helping to support the referendum that will be on the ballot next fall to eliminate property taxes."
Now, it's not a juicy sounding comment, but you know what he told her? I mean, I don't know that he was speaking directly to her, but Marilyn, you're coming to us complaining about eliminating property taxes. It's almost certain that this is going to be on the ballot. The state has cut, and we are still running surpluses, and we're like at our maximum amount of our rainy day fund that we can have. And you're trying to avert this from happening. But your city, Milton, literally just took the opportunity because the county cut property taxes by 2 mils, right? By moving all of its funding for law enforcement over to the MSTU for the sheriff's office. That allowed the cities like Gulf Breeze to either participate or not in the MSTU, and Gulf Breeze and Milton both declined to participate in it. And in Gulf Breeze, that was the end of the story. Everybody gets a 2 mils tax cut, which is, you know, a nice benefit if you live in Gulf Breeze. In Milton, what the city council did was they said, okay, well, the county cut your taxes by 2 mils. Well, that's an opportunity for us to raise your taxes by a mil, 40% or something like this, 43%. And that's exactly what they did. So you can imagine Alex looking at the city council representative here, Marilyn Farrow, and saying, so in a time when we're trying to cut taxes and save people money and everybody's struggling, and what y'all did was you looked at a gift you were given by the county that could have been given to your taxpayers, and instead y'all turn around and unanimously voted to rip out some of that gift and keep it for yourselves by raising municipal taxes by a mil. And you call yourselves conservatives and Republicans. So you're making it worse. You're pushing the amendment over the line. Who raises property tax? Well, actually, a lot of people have been raising property taxes lately. Santa Rosa County as a whole is one of the few that has actually cut. But anyway, I can imagine her face was, what have I done? 437-1620. There was there were actually some entertaining moments in the meeting as well. And I love it when Don Gates gets out the hammer with somebody. The context here, I only play it for you so you kind of see the event as it actually happened. This was somebody was talking. I think the guy's name was Rod Mitchell. He was talking about the wastewater treatment plant that Milton is building. And are working on building, which, by the way, they got the design engineers for that came back with we can save you $10 million on this. Cool. Nice. I was just kind of dropped in the lap at the last meeting. Anyway, so I believe this is Rod Mitchell talking about, we don't want you to let them build the wastewater treatment plant because of where it is and the effect on water quality and runoff and PFAS and all of the stuff, okay? And then you're going to kind of hear why I play this clip in a second.
And so now we're at the point where they're really scrambling around trying to figure out something to do, and they want money from anybody and everybody to be able to do it. We cannot give them unfettered access to funds to basically do whatever they want with and keep doing the same things that have gotten us into the position we're in right now with PFAS and pharmaceuticals and a number of other things. We simply don't. We don't address it in wastewater treatment. Thank you this evening for allowing
me to
present it.
Our next speaker is Mark Greers, followed by Scott Markle.
Somebody yelled BS from the crowd.
And one more outburst like that, and we'll have the police take you out. You got it? Go ahead, sir. You're recognized.
I have personally never heard Don Gates yell at somebody. He's such a genial fellow most of the time. But he was pretty livid at this guy for the break of decorum, and rightly so. And, you know, hey, one more, you get to go. I mean, you could have just taken him out right then. You could have, and you would have been justified. Anyway, fun times at the Santa Rosa County Delegation meeting. 624 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay, and if you need a new roof, and nobody wants one, I understand that, but you do need one from time to time, and insurance may tell you, hey, that roof is too old, you got to get a new one, or you might have some problems with it, and you want to know, can I repair it, can I replace it, what should I do? Well, Brian Ward, 19 years ago, founded this company, Quality Roofing Solutions, and they've been building roofs in Pensacola ever since, 19 years, 10,000 roofs, 4.9 rating on Google. It's amazing. No, nobody gets a 4.9 on Google. So anyway, they give to all kinds of local charities, Art Gateway, local youth sports, financial education for kids, Dave Ramsey stuff. I mean, they just do all of this stuff. They really believe in giving back. But also, they just really believe in doing things right. You know, being straightforward with you, explaining the situation, like on a roof. You know, you want to know whether you should replace it or whether you should repair it. Well, it could be repair. But sometimes what happens is if you're going to put, you know, some money into repairing it now, well, in a couple of years, chances are you're going to have to replace it anyway. So it's going to be, you know, kind of delaying the inevitable. But also you lose out on the benefit you might get by a better roof. Could bring you through a wind mitigation report, inspection report, could bring you a reduced home insurance rate. Also, if you're going to have to spend it eventually and you put off, it's going to be more expensive in a couple of years and it might be more of a savings to do it now. And it just... they'll walk you through all of that. They return your calls, talk like normal people, put everything online in terms of photos before and after so that you have, you don't have to maintain that yourself. They do that for you. Anyway, just lots of little things that they do right. Great company. QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Taking a look at the big board right now, we've got a couple of accidents to let you know about if you're on Avalon Boulevard southbound headed toward I-10. Right there at San Jose Street, right as you start to merge onto I-10, we've got an accident there that's causing backups on Avalon Boulevard, about a 7 to 9 minute delay in that area. Let's see here. Also, the big board saying Fairfield and Palafox Street. Still dealing with that accident. It's off to the side of the road. I'm not seeing any delays, but I want you to be aware of it. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
At Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola, they know you've heard of acupuncture, but what is it? Acupuncture is a time-tested holistic medicine that can help decrease pain and restore function. They treat patients suffering from chronic back pain, neuropathy, joint pain, arthritis, migraines, and so much more. They can also help with digestive disorders, infertility, anxiety, and depression. To learn more or schedule a consultation, visit awpensacola.com. Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola, where a healthier and happier you awaits.
The Florida Bright Futures Scholarship isn't just about covering tuition. It can help you pursue your dreams at any Florida State University, community college, or eligible trade school. Whether you want to become a teacher, study engineering, learn a skilled trade, or start your own business, Bright Futures can help you achieve your goals. The best part? It's funded by the Florida Lottery, so when people play, students win. Visit FloridaBrightFutures.gov to learn more about your options, check your eligibility, and start your application. Your bright future starts here.
This message is brought to you by the Florida Lottery and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in today at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2. Right after Mark Van Cappen Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Mr. McGee, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Wait, was that Bruce Banner or Don Gates? I don't know. I loved his comment. I thought it was perfectly appropriate. 6:28 here on News Radio 92.3.
It was perfect for the time.
This isn't the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting or the Milton City Council meeting. Behave.
Yes.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. President Trump criticizing Oregon Governor Tina Kotek on Truth Social. Trump wrote yesterday, Kotek must be, quote, living in a dream world. He went on to claim that Portland is a never-ending disaster and said it's being run like a third-world country. Kotek doesn't manage the city. That's the mayor's job there. And Trump says the National Guard is now in place and is dedicated to restoring law and order. I saw some videos of the Antifa protesting and things going on there the other day. It's pretty crazy stuff. At least four people are injured after an attack. This happened in Manchester, England on Yom Kippur. The suspect was reportedly seen driving a vehicle towards a crowd before he went on the attack. He failed to get into the synagogue and was shot by armed officers at the scene. No word yet on the conditions of the victims, the attacker, or on any possible motive. And a lawsuit being dismissed after a man that was sued over a photo of him taken as a naked baby that was used on an album cover 34 years ago, Spencer Eldon. He was the baby on the cover of Nirvana's album, Nevermind.
Yeah, yeah.
He was suing for millions of dollars in damages. A federal judge in Los Angeles dismissed his case.
Pay me for my dangle. Right? I mean, you know, what he's saying. That's probably an album cover that wouldn't get published today, I don't think.
Absolutely not. No.
I'm Gianna Gelosi. We're on day two of the government shutdown. Senate Democrats kept their promise to reject any Republican spending bill that doesn't extend or restore health care benefits.
Republicans tried to bully us, and it's clear they can't. They don't have the votes. The way out of this is for Republicans to finally roll up their sleeves and get to work.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. Republicans say they won't be held hostage by Democrat demands.
The Chuck Schumer AOC wing of the Democratic Party shut down the government.
Vice President J.D. Vance, two Delta planes colliding on the taxiway at New York's LaGuardia Airport.
A departing plane's wing made contact with the fuselage of an arriving plane. One flight attendant was hurt with a minor injury and transported to a local hospital.
That's Fox's Chanley Painter. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 65 degrees right now. We've got clear skies, a gorgeous morning here in Pensacola. Two students at Booker T. Washington High School had to be taken to the hospital this week after apparently having issues related to a laced vape. Those students passed out at school, the first on Monday, the second on Tuesday. Officials say both students were showing some strange behaviors just before they collapsed. Both students were using vapes that were apparently laced with amphetamines. Those vapes have now been sent off for further testing, and PPD says they are still investigating this case. Well, Pensacola police also investigating after a bomb threat near the Lakeview Center last night. Investigators say a person reported a suspicious package to a Lakeview employee. They said it had a bomb in it. Officers shut down the whole area, evacuated some nearby buildings. Ultimately, EOD showed up and x-rayed the package and said there was nothing inside.
We are in the process now of trying to find the person that said or that left the package on the table and talked to the employee of Lakeview.
And that's PPD's Mike Wood. The investigation into the incident continues. The all clear came about a quarter after six last night. Well, the Pensacola Bay Center gearing up for hockey season. They've got a new layer of ice being put down this week for the upcoming season.
The brand new ice plant will be turned on full bore. It'll be cranked all the way down, and we'll have ice on that brand new arena floor. They've been working on it all summer. They have the brand new boards up, the brand new glass up. All the lighting is up. The speakers are up, and a lot of other upgrades.
That's Greg Harris, the Ice Flyers team owner. He says that ice is being put down to NHL standards and says probably today or tomorrow it ought to be done, and they'll have a brand new inch of ice for the upcoming season, which begins October 18th. Well, a shooting in Santa Rosa Beach on Wednesday left one person dead and another injured. The Walton County Sheriff's Office responded to an eviction notification. This was on Pinehurst Drive Wednesday morning. Well, deputies say they were getting ready to leave the scene when gunshots were fired inside of the residence. One person died at the scene. The other was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. They do say that no deputies were involved in the gunfire and everybody present had been detained. The investigation into that incident continues. Well, a former state employee is suing after she was fired for a social media post. Former FWC biologist Brittany Brown was fired last month after making an Instagram post about Charlie Kirk's murder. The FWC says the post was not in line with the FWC's values or mission. Brown's lawyers, though, say that being fired violated her right to free speech. It is 6:34 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a quick check on our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be seeing a nice day today with a high near 85 degrees. 10% chance of a stray shower, otherwise mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 68. For Friday, another 10% chance of a stray shower, otherwise sunny skies. High near 82. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 69. Going into Saturday, a bit breezy with a high near 82 degrees. 30% chance of a stray shower in the afternoon. Low near 71. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And 6:35 now, we've got 68 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Let's get a check on our traffic on the fives. Good morning, John.
Well, good morning, David. We're still dealing with the accident that happened on Avalon Boulevard and San Jose Street right before you get on to I-10 eastbound, so be aware of that one. Other than that, the rest of I-10, I-110, Highway 90, 98 are all looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much. Again, 68, partly cloudy. Our next news at 7. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Some breaking news for you. Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway has announced it reached a deal to buy Occidental Petroleum's petrochemical unit, OxyChem, for $9.7 billion in cash. The deal marks Berkshire's largest since 2022. Treasury yields ticked lower this morning as investors monitored the government shutdown and ramifications of an economic data blackout. The 10-year Treasury yield was trading over one basis point lower at 4.096%, while the 2-year Treasury yield was little changed at 3.541%. BYD delivered just over 393,000 units in September, marking an almost 6% decline year over year. On the other hand, EV startups across the board set new monthly delivery records. Li Auto rebounded from two consecutive months of sales below its usual 30,000 range. Futures are mixed. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 43, the NASDAQ up 95, the S&P 500 up 22. That's Your Money Now.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Take advantage of the free document shredding event Saturday morning from 8 till 11 at the Pensacola Interstate Fairgrounds. Get more at newsradio923.com. The License to Thrill charity date auction is Saturday evening at the Hilton Pensacola Beach. Proceeds benefit Valerie's House and A Hope of Milton. More info at crewofpensacolabells.com. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
Love electronics? Join the award-winning team at ADX Communications, home of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN 1330, and Pensacola's Playlist. We're looking for an experienced electronics technician who can keep our stations running smooth, from the studio to the transmitter tower. Competitive pay, great benefits, and a fun, fast-paced team environment. Apply today at catcountry987.com. That's catcountry987.com. ADX is an equal opportunity employer.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State games in Tallahassee? Just download our News Radio Pensacola app.
Then tap the app for your chance to win tickets to FSU home games
Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready to be in the stands for game day with News Radio 92.3.
Good morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We have county commission meetings in Escambia County today. We have an agenda review. We have a committee of the whole. We have an afternoon meeting. I think there's going to be a mid-season picnic. They might have a best hot rod contest. When it's meeting day, it's many meetings day a lot of times. Wes Moreno, he's the county administrator for Escambia County, joins us beforehand to give us a little preview of what's on the agenda. Wes, welcome back, sir. Good to have you.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. As always, it's great to be here. Hey. Great ZZ Top music coming in, so we're ready to go.
I only wish we could avail ourselves of your expertise in barbecue somehow, but we haven't figured out how to do that at 6 o'clock in the morning. Hey, first question for you. The Doge, Florida Doge, has not come, is not coming. Do you know, I mean, have they talked to you guys at all about the county?
They have not as of yet. No, they have not.
Okay. All right. So far the answer is nothing. So, okay, fine. I was just curious. I didn't know and I was curious. Lots of big stories. Let's deal with the one that probably looks the worst but actually isn't. That's the $18 million in bad debt transferring to collections for the last year. This number has been significantly lower in the past. It's been, you know, what, $10 or so million in 2022, 23, 23, 24 has been $10 million. Before that, it was $7 million. Before that, it was $5 million. I understand why it is, but I want you to explain to people because they see this and they think, oh, my God, EMS is losing almost $18 million. But that's a really inaccurate way to describe what's happening, right?
It is. It really is. And that's a couple of years reaching back, catching up is what that is. But it is $18 million. And, you know, I guess the moral to the story and what we try to utilize this particular piece of information for is if you don't really need 911, don't call 911. If you don't really need an ambulance, don't call an ambulance. You know, we still have calls, a number of calls that, hey, I need to go to the doctor, or I need to go to the hospital, and they wind up at Cordova Mall, or I can't reach my remote, or there's just a host of things. But the other important thing to know is that we're not just writing this number off. It does go to collections, and we're going to continue to collect this money as we move forward. And we do prioritize it, because I got some questions. We do prioritize insurance first, and we do bill insurance companies. So what this number represents is those that are mainly uninsured and then don't pay, or their insurance only pays a portion, and then there's a delta, and they don't pay the delta. If we don't have their information at the time, they can call and leave their insurance information. So we did make a number of efforts to collect this money.
And I think, you know, this is one of those things where the headline is like so awful, but the more you look into it, the more it doesn't really look quite as bad as it seems. One, as you said, is this is not write off. This is sent to debt collection. Now, debt collection is not going to get a lot of this. They're probably going to pull what, 10 or 20% in the end.
Yeah,
you know, so, good, you know, but this is a common enough practice. Our actual collections are consistent, 83% in 23, 80% in 24, 81% in 25, meaning of the total bill, we're actually getting, you know, 4/5 of it collected properly. And the $18 million includes almost $7 million. It's $6.5 million that should have been transferred to bad debt in prior years, going back as much as 2.75 years. And to me, what that means is that the actual debt for this year is only about 11 to 11.5. So it's right in line with prior years. But also, that 6 should have applied previously, meaning that the 10 should have been 11 or 12 and the other 10. You know, so it's really an accounting issue. It's not that the practice has changed dramatically. Is that right?
That is correct. Absolutely.
Yeah, and so I just, you know, again, it looks scary at first glance, and it's not ideal, but as you said, people abuse the system and they don't pay. And how does our EMS collections rate or bad debt transfer, how does that compare with other EMS systems of our scope?
It's pretty comparable, not just in the area, but all across the country. Everybody's facing the same thing.
Yeah,
if you're uninsured, you know, you weigh in, am I going to buy groceries this week? I'm going to pay the ambulance bill.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what it comes down to.
Yeah. And I wanted to address this one first because I know it's a big headline story and I know it looks embarrassing for the commissioners and it's come up a lot before. But I, you know, getting some clarity on the numbers, I just wanted to make sure we did that. We're talking to Wes Moreno, Escambia County Administrator. Hang out for just a second. Wes, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
We've got one accident on the big board right now. If you're on Avalon Boulevard going southbound toward I-10, there was an earlier wreck and traffic is backed up. About a 10 to 12 minute delay in that area. Other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Wes Moreno, Escambia County Administrator. We've had big news on the ITL, ECAP, paratransit, flex transit, that front. ITL is going to pay the $4,500 that they owe for the gas. Is that right?
They already have, yep. Absolutely.
Oh, okay, checks in hand. Fantastic. So what's the shape of their relationship with the county going forward? Because it seemed to me like a lot of what we learned in that big conversation was that what ITL does for paratransit is being supplanted by flex transit because the customers prefer that. What is the model going to be going forward?
So there will be a different model going forward. I will meet with, actually tomorrow morning, I'll meet with a representative from ITL, and we're going to talk about some contractual things, rates, trips, duration. As far as, you know, is it from 5 a.m. to 8 p.m. or is it from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m., some of those things. So we'll modify the contract moving forward, and hopefully we will work out something that works for both of us. And they do provide a good service, they really do.
Yeah.
But we just got to get it in the right place and with the right mechanisms in place and be able to function and them be able to do what they do and us be able to be fiscally responsible. So that's what we're trying to do.
I assume that the goal is to let Flex Transit suck up as much business as it can because it's so much less expensive and people seem to like it. That's a free market model. How much are you planning on taking the paratransit in-house? That had been the conversation because the trip cost was so high and you guys thought in-house you could do it for so much less money. Is that still on the table? Is there a share of responsibilities?
It is on the table. So, okay. You know, a lot of the trips, the folks that sign up or that are eligible, and the new folks especially, or even the existing ridership, they have a choice. They can ride paratransit, ITL, or they can ride flex transit. So they will dictate quite a bit of the ridership as it goes to flex transit or ITL. But, you know, the whole goal of flex transit also is to get into the fixed route service.
Yeah.
And so we are making some moves to do that as well.
I will tell you, understanding the difficulty of turning the direction of this giant ship of local, you know, mass transit, every time I see a flex transit vehicle driving on the road, I'm just like, yay. I feel so good about that. So anyway.
Yeah, it's been a pretty popular service.
Yeah, no. A couple of quick updates I wanted to ask you about. Fishing pier update. How soon, when, where will we see what's happening?
If we haven't issued the notice to proceed, we're going to be issuing it pretty soon.
Okay.
And then you'll see construction start. And it's a long construction time. They probably won't be completed till about 2028 sometime.
Okay, so it's going to be a long time before that's actually. But we do have we've selected a contract. Almost ready
Absolutely.
To go. Outstanding.
Yep.
I know people are very excited. The fishing community, you know, as you know. Toll booth update. When will that deconstruction replacement start?
So bids open on October the 24th, and then we'll be looking to come to the board with an award. By December, maybe a little bit before December, and then we will issue notice to proceed, and you'll probably see that work starting shortly after the first of the year.
And design appearance will be something that we'll only know after we get a contractor selected or before?
Well, it'll be the gantry system. We're not looking at a big decorative piece or anything of that nature at the moment.
Okay.
It'll be the gantry system, hopefully a sleek, slim line gantry system and some landscaping around the side and such.
Okay, as minimalist as possible is the goal, right?
Absolutely.
The Divine Farms Road Bridge and Road Project, I know that's a big thing for especially the people who live in that massive subdivision that are on the west side of the road. We've obviously got the borrow pit down at the end by I-10. People who live on that road, especially the ones that have been there for longer, this has been a big issue. Is that bridge in process? It's on the where are we at?
It's in process. So there's two phases in that bridge. The first phase will be completed by the end of the calendar year. And it requires, sheet piles and riprap. And they're going to come in and set the structure on phase one. And then after the first year, we'll start phase two, which is basically doing the same thing on the opposite side of the road. And then that's about a 6 to 7 month window. Then it'll be hopefully be completed in about that time frame.
Okay. All right. I mean, I know the folks who nothing in construction ever happens as fast as we want.
It never does. Been difficult. We've run into some issues.
Nor as cheaply as we want. I mean, both things are true. Costco, the deal with them coming to the Chemstrand and 9 Mile location, apparently there needs to be some adjustment to Chemstrand because of access needs and FDOT, but Chemstrand is under reconstruction right now. Are you guys going to have to, like, tear up what you've already done and redo it? Is it going to be built into the current? What's happening? What has to happen on Chemstrand by 9 Mile to make this work?
So I think if there are two requests and two left-hand turn lanes, if you're going north on Chemstrand from Johnson, I think they're requesting two left-hand turn lanes. They're requesting some things coming off of, the road going to the north. It escapes me at the moment. But they also want to extend the turn lane coming, if you're going east on 9 Mile Road, they want to extend that turn lane as well.
Okay.
So we're in negotiations there with some of those improvements that they're requesting, and we'll continue to negotiate with them. Our goal is we'll contribute to the project, but not necessarily have to construct the project.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it seems like this is a Costco issue, right? Like, you know, that seems like
that's just it.
I mean, why should a business coming to town require the county to spend money to accommodate the business coming to town? It seems kind of weird. But my question is, I know again, Chemstrand is like I think it's still in process. It's been a month or two since I drove it. But are we going to be able to, you know, adapt the remodel to incorporate these changes to cut costs, or is it going to really be we have to redo it over?
I think closer to the intersection of 9 Mile, you might see some redo.
Okay. All right. Very good. Cameras at Pensacola Beach that the sheriff talked about on Tuesday. That's on the agenda for today. A second wave of cameras so that they can connect to the real-time crime center, right?
Yeah, it is. It's on the agenda today. That was a request from the Sheriff's Department, and Commissioner Hoffberger actually funded that out of some of her discretionary money. And so we are moving forward with that, and that should be in place shortly.
And the Committee of the Whole is going to be a conversation about economic development in Florida West. Is that right?
Yeah, economic development and job growth, yeah.
Speaking of that, where are we on OLF-8? It seemed like, you know, it's flurry, discussion, controversy, decision, and then silence. Where are we?
They've been doing a lot of due diligence.
Okay.
We've had staff meeting them out there, letting them on the property. They've been on the property numerous times doing the due diligence, their geotechnical survey, environmental, all those things. They've been actively working out there.
Okay, so we're in the process of getting ready to make it actually happen for them to take ownership and start doing things. But, you know, this doesn't look like anything, but this is the part that has to happen first, right?
Yeah, this is the part that it's working, but nobody really sees it. Yeah.
Very good. Wes Moreno, he is the Escambia County Administrator. We got several meetings today, the agenda review this morning and the Committee of the Whole meeting this morning, and then the actual regular meeting tonight. Public input is at 4:30, regular meetings at 5:30. Wes, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for spending a little bit of explanation for folks. I know that they have a lot more questions even than I can ask you, but I appreciate you getting up early and talking with us, sir. So we'll talk to you next time.
All right. Thank you, Andrew.
Absolutely. 6:53 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. I've now practiced law for over 44 years. I'm proud to say that my three sons are my law partners. We have 5 offices throughout the Panhandle: Pensacola, Milton, Crestview, Fort Walton, and Navarre. If you have been injured due to the negligence of another, call us at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
You depend on your vehicle, and you need a good auto shop to depend on as well. That shop is A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, and due to customer demand, they had to move to a larger shop on Beverly Parkway. They offer low rates, great warranties on all their work, free vehicle inspections, and they even offer financing. Their fully certified mechanics will take great care of your regular or diesel vehicle. Call 850-285-0958. A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, 403 Beverly Parkway, Pensacola.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in today at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Okay, let's talk about renovation and how it's not like your ordinary happy ending home makeover show. Example, they're the guys who prey on homeowners and never show up to do the work. So that's why the state of Florida licenses contractors. You can check if your contractor is licensed at the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation website at myfloridalicense.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games?
Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app.
Tap that app
to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
You cool, man?
I'm like, how?
Okay.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us here on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still dealing with the earlier accident that happened on Avalon Boulevard going southbound toward I-10. Traffic is starting to really, really back up. I'm seeing about a 12 to 15 minute delay on Avalon Boulevard southbound as you approach I-10. Let's see here. Small delay on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Remember yesterday I was telling you about how the Postal Service made a big deal out of announcing that the price of a first-class stamp was not going to go up this January, since they typically raise the price twice a year now. It's your semi-annual anti-sale. What's the price hike up? So they said it won't go. But they have announced that shipping things during the holidays is actually going to cost more. Postal Service is temporarily increasing prices for the holiday season. It's a what you might call surge pricing, not surge, like, you know, Balke Bartakamas, but or from Beverly Hills Cop. But surge pricing, which is that if you're going to send things anytime after Sunday, October 5th, so that would be, you know, anytime after Sunday, Priority Mail, Priority Mail Express, Parcel Select, and United States Postal Service Ground Advantage services are all going to go up. Higher prices will remain in effect until January 18th. So you're going to pay more during the holiday season. Yay. How
and
much
Jimmy
more?
Carter stamp.
Oh, there's a whole list of like the cost increase of everything. You just go online if you're curious. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. One person had to be treated for injuries after a couple of Delta jets collided at LaGuardia Airport in New York last night. Air traffic control said the right wing of one plane collided with the nose of the other. Jane Fonda is relaunching her... Why, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Jane Fonda is relaunching her father's committee for the First Amendment. She said in a letter on Wednesday that now's the time to come together and stand up for each other's free speech rights. Hundreds of industry professionals have signed a statement, including Julia Dreyfus, Spike Lee, and Billie Eilish. And the federal government shut down in day two, Andrew. No evidence of movement from either side yet. It all started Wednesday. Lawmakers held procedural votes on two competing measures. Both have failed.
All right, David. Thanks so much for the update. Yeah, somebody mentions about the Costco going in on 9 Mile. So traffic in that area. Yeah. Well, I mean, look, there's no traffic at like airport and college, is there? Around the... BJ's doesn't affect it, but that's got two major roads right there. It is a good question. You know, what will happen on Chemstrand, 9 Mile, that vicinity, when you take what is essentially a failed shopping mall and turn it into a massively thriving 800-plus space mall? Well, but then again, you can't... No, I know. I get it. If you drive in that area, you're, like, losing your mind over this. Because it's going to be... So many people are going to use it. And, yeah, it's not going to make traffic better in that vicinity. So, yay, development. Listen.